Well, the singing has been wonderful today. Thank you so much, those that began, and those that just finished. Appreciate it. And I want to encourage you to pray for our singers. They do a marvelous job in practicing. They want to honor the Lord in the way that they sing. And if you have the gift of music, you ought to participate. I would encourage you to start the new year off right by getting in the choir. Well, I have preached for 3 Sundays out of Luke chapter 2. I figure there's no reason to change today. So that's where we're at, Luke chapter 2. We'll begin reading around verse 25. The text that, and the context, I guess I could start probably somewhere around verse 21. The story is this: Jesus is about 6 weeks old. He's no longer in the manger. The shepherds are long gone. The wise men have not yet arrived. And you've got Joseph, you've got Mary, and they are taking him to the temple. The law of Moses, and I think it's Leviticus chapter 12, gives them the prescription. And so the scriptures tell us that it's after the days of her purification. Circumcision's already taken place. And now they're taking him about 6 weeks of age to the temple, and they are getting ready to have some of the ceremonies that accompany young males in Israel. In verse 25, it tells us that there was a man that was in Jerusalem, and his name was Simeon. Now, Simeon is an old man. We're going to be introduced to another old person in just a little while. Her name will be Anna. And she is probably even older than Simeon. And I can't help but think what a blessing it has been to be able to read about these two, because very few people think about Simeon in the Christmas story. Very few people think about Anna at Christmas time. If I were to ask the average churchgoer, give me some characters at Christmas, well, immediately you'd say the baby Jesus, Joseph, Mary, angels, wise men, shepherds. And then after that, it started getting down to cows and donkeys and sheep. But you've got two senior citizens that are in the Christmas story. Now, they weren't there at the birth, but there's no doubt that they're a part of this Christmas story. And so we see that this man named Simeon, he was just and he was devout. And what was he doing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a messianic term. In other words, when somebody was waiting for the consolation of Israel, they were waiting for the Christ to show up. And he had been waiting a long, long time. You know, there's just something about looking at babies. If you want to see a smile come to your own face, go down to the nursery every once in a while. Now, the smile will leave if you stay too long. But just go down and just pick one of those little munchkins up and just look at it. And all of a sudden, you're going to be thinking, that is a beautiful little baby. Charles Eliot was the president emeritus of Harvard University. He was born around 1835, 36, somewhere in there. He was 92 when he died. He had already retired from being president, But in the summer of his 90th birthday, he got up one morning, he got dressed, he waddled down the road of the little town that he lived in, and he had heard that a peacock family had, the Peabody family had had a little baby. And so he knocks on the door. And the mother comes to the door, and of course she's not threatened by a 90-year-old man. And so she invites him in, and they chat for a moment. And then he looks at her and he says, "Can I hold the baby?" And she thought, well, I guess that would be okay. So she reached over and picked the baby up and set the baby in his lap. And he looked at the mother and he said, "I've been staring at death and old age for a long time. I'm staring at the end. But I just wanted to look at the beginning." The beginning for everything that we know in Christianity is the consolation of Israel. Were it not for the Christ, you would not be sitting here today. You say, maybe I would have. No, you wouldn't. Because had Jesus not come, there would have never been salvation. There would have never been a Damascus Road experience for the Apostle Paul. There would have never been the Apostle Paul getting to Rome and getting the gospel to Europe. You would have never had a Baptist heritage or a Reformation heritage. You would have never had any of those things. Christianity would never have been in existence because there was no Christ. And so you have Simeon, and what is he doing? He is waiting on Christmas. He cannot wait because he has been assured that he is going to see the Christ before he dies. And so we celebrate Christ this time of year. But let me just make a statement to you. When Jesus came to this earth, he did not come to bring peace and make everything right in this world. What he came to do is he came to make you and me right with God. If you and I are not right with God, that means that you have never been saved. You see, Jesus, he reconciled us to God. And while we were enemies toward God, he bridged that gap. At the end of the message this morning, there will be a slide that I will show to you. And it's going to just basically, it's a little simple nativity scene. But I want you to think about, at the top of that nativity scene, you've got the star that's kind of hovering over it. I want you to think, remove the star and put a cross there, because the cross was always hovering over the baby Jesus. He was born to die. I want us to look at three quick things this morning, and then we're going to take the Lord's table. The first thing that I want you to see is I want you to see that there was a marveling going on. Look with me at verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." What was it that was being spoken? Well, old Simeon, he began to say things like this: "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace." And so as we began to see what he says, he said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation. You have prepared this before the face of all people." In other words, I am holding the Christ. I've got Messiah right here. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I mean, if you want to take me right now, I'm ready to die. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. And that is his attitude. And as he begins to tell and say and utter all of these things, Joseph and Mary are marveling. Now, somebody says, well, the reason that they're marveling is they didn't know all this about Jesus. I don't believe that for a moment. Because you see, over in Luke chapter 1, Mary has already had what is called Mary's song. And she's already talking about what God has done and how he's bringing salvation to people. And you've got Mary's song. They've already had an experience that none of us have had. They've already had conversations with angels. So they knew that he was the Son of God. But I think what they're marveling at is they're marveling that this man did not know about Christ. They just knew he was coming. The star was gone. He didn't know this baby from any other baby that had been brought after that 40 days. But when he held that baby, he knew. And so you've got old Simeon, and I mean he is excited about the fact that he is holding the Christ. Somebody says, well, I don't really think that nowadays Christmas is really about Jesus as much. It may not be in some secular circles, but for the serious child of God, it's all about him. I remember reading a story about a guy that was invited to go to an art gallery. And he went to the art gallery and he was told at the beginning of the tour, they said, now all of the paintings that are in this particular gallery were painted by the masters. The people from the last 300-400 years, they have their portraits. They have their sceneries. They have all of the things that they have painted. They have those on display here. And so about an hour and a half later, they get to the end of the tour. The man looks over at the guide and he goes, to be honest with you, it just wasn't that impressive. And the tour guide looked at him and he said, sir, the art is not on trial. You are. And the art has already been judged to be masterpieces. So it says more about you than it does about their work. When somebody says, well, it's not about Jesus, it says more about their heart than it does the season. If it's all about, you know, hopping on a fat guy in a red suit's lap, you know, if it's all about playing in snow, if it's all about just seeing what kind of presents that we can get, if that's what it's all about, then that speaks to what your heart's like. Because were it not for this little baby, that Joseph and Mary are marveling at what's being said about him, were it not for him, none of this other stuff would even be around. Let me give you a second thought. Not only is there a marveling, but I want you to see there's a moving. Look with me at verse 25. The latter part of verse 25 says, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. I want you to notice that the Spirit of God is upon him. The Spirit of God talks to him. And the Spirit of God leads him. That's a pretty substantial moving. I think that you and I ought to make sure that we are in tune with Simeon in his heart. If you look at what he says in verse 29, it said, now lettest thy servant, that word servant, we have a tendency to want to sanitize that a little bit. We say, well, it's kind of like an employee. No. This word means a bond slave. a person that's on the bottom of the boat rowing on a slave galley. And Simeon says, Lord, just let your bond slave depart in peace. I'm ready to die. There is a peace that this old man has got in his heart. Why? Because he has now seen Christ with his own eyes. There's a peace. And may I say that when we have Christ in our hearts, there's a peace that you don't get anywhere else. You know, I put in the Friday blast about how that it seems as though this time of year that most of the time there's just an anxiousness. There's a hustle. There's a bustle. But for some reason, maybe I've just been hanging out with the right people. I hadn't really been going to a lot of the shopping centers. I mean, the closest that I came was a couple of weeks ago. The staff all went out to have a staff luncheon, and we went to P.F. Chang's out at the Mall of Georgia. Do you know, since that thing's been in existence, I've been inside of it, I think, 3 times. And I wished it had been 2. But we went out there, and it was not even crowded then. I wouldn't go out there for $100 right now. But when I look and I see what's happening in the people that I've been hanging around, there's a peacefulness. There's no anxiousness. And that's a good thing. I mean, we just get a chance to be contented. We have a chance to just be happy with what God's given to us. We might not have everything that we'd like, but we've got everything we need. You think about this. You think about some of the people that are going through deeper water than you are right now. Can I tell you something? We've got some folks in this church family that are not able to be here today because they are traveling some deep, deep, deep water. We've got a sweet family in our church, Luther and Phyllis Britt. Luther is in hospice today. Some of you didn't even know that. And I'm telling you, were it not for God's grace, we could all be there today. But I'm going to tell you something. God's grace is going to get Luther through. And when it comes time to step down into Chile, Jordan, there'll be a peace and there'll be a grace that he's never had before. And Phyllis will have it and the rest of the family will have it. We've got one of the finest men in this church. He normally weighs about 175 pounds, big old tall fella. He's been sick recently. He's down to 125 pounds. They thought they had it fixed. He was going to try to gain some weight back, and he's struggling today. Brother Bill Chancey. We've got other folks, and I could just call name after name after name today. But I'm going to tell you, God has blessed you with the ability to be here today. That ought to be praising, or there ought to be praise on your lips, and praising God all day for the fact that you got to be in church. And so there was a peacefulness that he had. But not only that, there was a proclamation that he gave. Look with me at verse 31 and 32. I've seen thy salvation, verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Why? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. In other words, he's saying, God, you've given a revelation. You've given a revelation. You have revealed in this little baby salvation, not just to Israel, but even to the Gentiles. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm included in that. And he was being just led and moved and talked to by the sweet Spirit of God. Well, let me give you a third thing very quickly. There's a messenger that is included in our passage today. I want you to look with me at verse 36. And there was one Anna. She was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of a great age. Well, how old was she? Well, she had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. Now, nobody really knows how old she was because we don't really know how old she was when she got married. But she was married for 7 years and her husband died. Well, she would have been probably a young lady and she could have remarried biblically. But you know what she chose to do? She chose to say, nope, I will not do that. I will just serve God. And her dedication was so great that they found a little place for her to live and sleep and eat that was somewhere around that temple. And how long had she been there? Well, she was a widow 84 years. 84 years she had served God in the temple. She had fasted and she had prayed night and day. Now you think about how committed this sweet lady was. You know, one of the blessings of reading the Bible is God includes people that the world doesn't really care about. When you begin to read the genealogies of Jesus, you find people in that genealogy, women that were basically the outcast of society in some ways. You had Bathsheba, who was an adulteress. You had Rahab. The Bible calls her a harlot. But yet, God, in his marvelous grace, reached down and took these ladies and did something special with them. In Israel, at this time, do you know that a woman's testimony in court was no good unless there were like two or three of them that testified of the same thing? I'm glad that we don't live in those days anymore. I'm glad that in Christ, we're all the same. Whether there be male, whether there be female, whether there be bond or free, whether there be Jew or Greek, according to Galatians chapter 3, hey, there's equal access to the throne of God for every one of us if we know Christ. I had a question. I was on the phone, I guess it was Saturday morning. My mom and I had not left to come up here. My phone rang, and my wife was shopping. Now, that could have been a little dangerous. She was shopping with a friend of hers, and they were talking about something, and the lady asked Deb a question, and she said, we'll just call Tommy and ask him. And so the question that she asked, it had to do of a religious nature. And I was able to share this. And the question was this: what about when that temple had that earthquake when Jesus, you know, was crucified and that veil was rent from top to bottom? What about that? And I said, and I called her name, I said, that is where everybody now has access to the Holy of Holies. You don't have to have somebody come in and make intercession on your behalf. Now in heaven, Jesus is our intercessor, and we can pray and make intercession on behalf of people, but anybody that is right with God can just, boom, go right to the throne of God and talk to him anytime they want to, day or night, 24/7. And so, this sweet lady, 84 years, she's been a widow. And she is now serving. And what does she get to do? She gets to see what the old man got to see. And they're not married, by the way. They're just two old people going to the temple. She gets to see exactly what had taken place. And what took place in verse 38. She coming in that instant, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. and spake of him to all that looked upon him for redemption in Jerusalem. In other words, there were some people that were looking. Now, the hierarchy of Judaism, those people that were in the upper echelons of the Sanhedrin, oh, they weren't looking. I mean, didn't I mention last week they could have walked 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem Ephratah to see him? No, they didn't have time for that. But you've got this lady, and when she finally meets that little baby and she knows that it's the Messiah, what does she do? She starts telling everybody. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing every time you pump gas, if you saw somebody and they smile at you and you smile back and say, let me tell you about Jesus. What about whenever you're in the grocery store, you're on aisle 7 and you can't find a Vienna sausage? You say, I don't buy Vienna sausage. Well, you just haven't been hungry enough. I learned to eat those when I used to go fishing with my Uncle Archie. And by the way, that's when I learned to eat sardines as well. And if you don't like sardines, you just hadn't lived. You and I ought to be telling people about Jesus, whether we're on the potted meat aisle or whether we're in the organic vegetables. And I guarantee you, some of you women hang out at the organic vegetables. You know? You're going to be like old Yule Gibbons. You're going to die when you're about 56. That old guy used to come on television when I was a teenager. He'd eat, hickory nuts and pine cones and everything else. Next thing I know, I saw in the newspaper, Yule Gibbons dead. Thought, well, that health food helped him, didn't it? Wherever we go, we ought to be trying to share Jesus with somebody. She was so excited. Here she was. She was a senior lady. You know what, you senior ladies and you senior men, you could tell people about Jesus. You say, well, they might not want to listen to me, but they're not going to be ugly to you because you're old. You can't be mean to old people. How sorry of a human being have you got to be ugly to an old person? We ought to always be looking to share Christ with somebody. Waiting for Christmas, old Simeon and Anna, they waited a long time. Now, some of you sitting here today, you may have been waiting because you've never trusted him. Oh, you've heard your mama and daddy talk about it. You heard your grandma and grandpa talk about it. Maybe you got a favorite aunt or a favorite uncle that's talked about it. Maybe you got a brother, sister, cousin, or just a friend, but you've never made that commitment personally. There's never been a time in your life when you said, Jesus, I need you. Well, Jesus was born to die. The Bible tells us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So you remember, when you see that nativity scene and you see that star that's up there, just kind of take that star and put a cross over the top of it. Because that's the story of Christmas. He was born to die. They were waiting on Christmas and found it. Are you waiting on Christmas? You can find him today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Perhaps you're here today and you really do not know Christ. I want to encourage you. Why don't you take care of it today? We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. As soon as Lisa gets to the piano, she'll begin play. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, you can know him today. Don't let pride keep you from coming. 99% of everybody that's here, they've done this. They want you to do this. If you don't know Christ, you ought to come today. Don't let that pride keep you from making that decision for Christ. I want you to just get up and come on right now. If you've never met the Lord, come on right now. If you're here and you want to join this church, I want to give you an opportunity to come. If you want to come on this Sunday morning, if you want to come, you can come right now. Anybody like that, you want to join this morning? Also now, as the music is playing, I'll ask the active deacons to come and take their place at the front. We're going to participate with the Lord's table. It'll only take us a few minutes to do this. But it'll be a day that I hope that you'll remember. 1 year ago on the Sunday before Christmas, or may have been on Sunday, which may have been Christmas last year, we partook of the Lord's table, and we had the awesome privilege of partaking in little olive wood beakers that we got from the Holy Land. We don't have those today, but we still remember that same Jesus that died on the cross. And so our deacons are going to give us the Lord's table, and I hope that you'll remain. If you're a guest, I want you to stay and be with us. Now, Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of coming to church today. And Father, I want to thank you that Jesus came as a little baby, that he lived a sinless life. And Lord, I want to thank you that he died for my sins. Lord, I could never pay for my own sins. If I had to pay for a single one, I'd have to go to hell for all of eternity. And I want to thank you that the sinless Savior did that because he loved us so much. I pray that I'll never get over it. Others that have trusted Christ will never get over it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we think about these elements that we will take, the bread and the juice. I pray that you'll help us to realize the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. Thank you.